This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Yes, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80 and wherever you get your podcasts. Should Kawhi opt out? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Game 4 of the NBA Finals is tonight in Milwaukee. Giannis, like, there was a lot of pressure in Game 3. A lot. And you go down 0-3, it's over. It's over. But not only did he not go down 0-3, he followed up his 40-point performance, 40-point double-digit rebound performance with another one, becoming the first player in history other than Shaq, or, according to my math, the second player, since we've been counting these things, to do that in the finals in consecutive games. 40 and 10 plus? Amazing. Now, the Bucks wasted his performance in Game 2, and that's partly because Chris Middleton, though he's a two-time All-Star, behaves like a role player. He shows up at home. All right. Middleton didn't have an amazing game in Game 3. But between Holiday and Middleton, they're going to have to give Giannis support. And I anticipate they will. I don't think that Holiday is going to stifle Devin Booker again that way. I think Booker's going to have a good game. But I think Holiday and Middleton will do their thing. Now, that means Giannis, forget about them not wasting a performance by him. He can't waste performances by them. Can't go down 3-1 against the team that started the series with home court. Can't do it. You're going to give the Suns three shots to take you out? They'll take you out. Bucks aren't better than the Suns like that. I don't think they're better than the Suns, period. But certainly not where they're going to win three in a row. With the chips on the line, as hungry, as thirsty as Chris Paul is. This is a huge game for Giannis. Legacies are on the line. It doesn't mean that Giannis' overall legacy is etched in stone if he doesn't show up tonight. Not his overall legacy, but part of his legacy will be etched in stone. You can't change what happens once it's happened. This, like, whatever Giannis does right now, that is going to be part of his story and likely a big part of his story. How many finals will he play in? Now, already, he's really done himself a service in terms of legacy because it was about to be bad for him. He wins MVP. Oh, my God. I was saying, hey, if this guy gets a jump shot, he'll replace Michael Jordan. You know, like, Giannis, if he can really shoot from the outside, forget it, right? If he got, like, 35, 36% from three, oh, it's over. Now, that never happened. And also, his handles are good for a big, but they're not good for a wing. You know, he's a big dressed up as a wing. And that was exposed in the finals. They built the wall, right? But they had a 2-0 lead on Toronto and then collapsed. And then the following year, they flamed out in the playoffs. And it's like, okay, Giannis, we see you can win 60 games. You can win the MVP, became one of only three players. He's on some exclusive lists, right? Second player, first one was Shaq, joined Shaq as the only two to go for 40 and 10 in consecutive finals games. Before that, he became one of only three players, joining Olajuwon and MJ. One of only three players to win MVP and Defensive Player of the Year in the same year. So all that's regular season, Giannis. What are you going to do in the playoffs? Nothing. I mean, he had some good series, but also some bad ones. And his team never even got to the conference finals. And then this year, after the Nets were so much embarrassingly better than the Bucks at two-thirds strength, like, they didn't have Harden. It was just KD and Kyrie, and they were beating the brakes off the Bucks, who were fully loaded. And the only reason the Bucks won barely by the skin of their teeth in Game 7 after KD misses an overtime three, otherwise, if that three goes, Bucks are gone, right? By the skin of their teeth, KD by himself takes them to a Game 7. But okay, they get by. And they advance. Thing is, Giannis hyperextended his knee in Game 4 of the semifinals. Sorry, of the conference finals. Game 4. So last two games, which the Bucks won, they did so without him. Could you imagine how bad it would be for Giannis? It's like, well, hold on. They finally get there without you. Who knows if they would have gotten there with you? That's what some of the people would be thinking, and I understand why. And then once you get there, you go down 0-3, the series is over? He didn't do that. He showed up and showed out, as the kids say. games 2 and 3. He's got to do it again in game 4. He's got to. You got to defend home court, and it's not going to happen if Giannis doesn't have a monster game. He needs to have a monster game. See, the thing about Shaq, and that's the player that Giannis is actually most like in the modern era. If you translate Shaq to this era, he looks like Giannis. And in fact, that's why Shaq said he could have the Superman nickname. First guy to say about. First guy Shaq said it about. And Shaq said, I wish they let me play more the way Giannis plays. They didn't back then. But the point was, Shaq in the finals, oh, he showed up every game. There's a reason. Shaq and Kobe three-peated. Shaq won finals MVP every year. Here's their first finals appearance comparison. We have it on ESPN+. Shaq at 29 points, Giannis at 34. Shaq at almost 13 rebounds, Giannis at 40. Shaq at 7 assists per game, Giannis at 5. They're both over 60% or at 60% or over from their field goal percentage. Now, Shaq got swept in his first finals appearance by Hakeem. He was with the Magic at the time. But once Shaq got help, once he got Kobe and then D-Wade, he won the chip. Does Giannis have enough help? With Middleton and Holiday, I didn't think so. But with so many injuries around the league, they're in a position to do it. Giannis must come through in game 4. If they go down 3-1, they're not going to win the series. It's an absolute must-win game for Giannis and the Bucks tonight. You can listen to the game, by the way, on ESPN Radio tonight. Meantime, Kawhi Leonard, the news today is he had surgery to repair a partially torn ACL. The surgery was on Kawhi's right knee, which he sprained. I just mentioned hyperextended. I'm talking about Kawhi now, not Giannis. I haven't mentioned this yet. Kawhi hurt his knee in the previous series, but it caused him to miss the entire Western Conference Finals. The team said the surgery was successful, but they didn't give a timetable for his return. Now, Kawhi has a player option for the 21-22 season. He can opt out. He's going to opt out. Whether or not he stays, he's opting out because he doesn't have his full bird rights, which means he doesn't get the 5-year supermax. He only gets a 4-year, $176.2 million deal if he declines the option. And I suppose he doesn't just need the Clippers to give him that deal, right? That's probably fueling some speculation that Kawhi might leave the Clippers because sometimes part of the incentive to stay is you get an extra year and more money per year, both with the Supermax. If you can't get a Supermax, maybe you're more likely to leave. But why would Kawhi leave the Clippers? Why would he leave the Clippers? I don't think he would. I don't think he will. I don't think it's wise. He shows up, and the Clippers don't have a point guard, and it's the bubble year, and they disappointed. They should have lost to the Mavs and then did lose to the Nuggets. And Paul George is no good. But then the following year, this year, Paul George is quite good, and Kawhi was even better. Buddy got hurt, or else they'd be on the brink of winning a championship right now. They'd win the championship this year. I mean, they went 6 games with the Suns without Kawhi playing a single second of the series. You mean to tell me you add Kawhi, they're not going to win the series? Of course they win that series. And then they face these Bucks. That Clippers team's better than this Bucks team. And Kawhi and Giannis have linked up in the playoffs before. And what happened? Kawhi not only beat them up pretty good, he wound up winning finals MVP. And it wasn't the first time he'd won finals MVP, by the way. No, Kawhi would be winning finals MVP again this year as a champion, but he got hurt. And by the way, next year, we'll see. If he stays on the Clippers, they might not win next year. But I'm telling you this, he signs a 4-year extension with the Clippers, he's going to win a championship in there. And let me ask you something, because Michael Jordan ruined like all these players, right? Like, no matter, you're now expected to win the championship every year. When I was a kid, Larry Bird was a 3-time MVP. The Celtics were a powerhouse. Magic Johnson was an all-time great. The Lakers were the greatest team ever. No one expected Bird or Magic to win this title every year because they knew Bird is in the league, so is Magic, and they're both on great squads, and Moses Malone, too. You weren't expected to win every year. Then MJ came around, and every time he had a crew, he won, and he did it in under 7 games. And then all of a sudden is, oh, if you don't win a championship one year, what happened? So here we are, and Kawhi hasn't won since he's been in the Clippers, but let me ask you something. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. If Kawhi signs a 4-year extension with the Clippers, And by the end of the whole thing, he's played 6 years, half a dozen years in L.A., and wins a single championship. What would you call that? Because I would call it a resounding success. The Clippers had never been in a conference finals before Kawhi got there. Are you kidding? If he winds up winning a single championship, the best thing that ever happened to the Clippers. It's a huge success. Eddie Johnson, former Suns All-Star, Suns TV analyst on the Goodyear Hotline, joins the Max Kellerman Show here on ESPN Radio. What's going on, Eddie?
You know what, Max? It's always a pleasure to be able to talk to you. I watch First Take for you. I don't watch it for Stephen A.
Well, you're a smart
man.
Don't tell Stephen A.
I said that.
Yes, I will. Smart man, clearly. That's why you're on this show. Eddie, good to hear from you. So I think this is the pressure is still enormously on Giannis in this game. You can't go down 3-1 to this Suns team. And they already have home court, which they've defended. And, you know, Giannis has had two amazing games. You think he can have another one like the two he just had?
I don't think he will, because I think the Suns are going to say, you know what, enough is enough. And they're gonna basically, when he gets the ball on the block, they're gonna double him. And when he gets it about 10 feet out and faces, they're gonna double him on the dribble. They gotta make somebody else beat them. Max, the way he is scoring right now, it's devastating. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, somebody can get 40 points and you can say, okay, it's spread out, you know, but he's like getting people in foul trouble and he's scoring. And he's scoring high percentage shots at the rim in the restricted area. You know, that's Shaq-like. And you can't allow a guy to continue to do that game in and game out. He's done it for two straight games. And the Suns cannot allow that to happen again. So I expect them to come out and be creative defensively. And they're going to say, look, P.J. Tucker, we know that you got a house over there in the corner. You led the league last year in corner threes. Go ahead. Go at it. You know, Jrue Holiday, go for it. They're going to stay on Middleton, but they're going to challenge Jrue Holiday and P.J. Tucker, and I think that's the right thing to do.
Talking to Eddie Johnson here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Eddie, former Suns All-Star and Suns TV analyst now, talking Game 4, huge game tonight in the final, pivotal Game 4 in the finals. Eddie, I'm looking at DeAndre Ayton, and I like the Suns a lot before the year started. I mean, first of all, they went 8-0 in the bubble, and then they added Chris Paul. And sometimes you can put two guys together in a backcourt. You go, I don't know. I need to see how Westbrook and Beal play together. Let me see how Harden and Kyrie play together. But on paper, I loved Chris Paul and Devin Booker together. It seemed to me like this was really going to work, and I expected Chris Paul to have a great influence on DeAndre Ayton. He's either going to make him or break him. And he was already pretty good, DeAndre Ayton, and you had the right 3-and-D kind of guys and Mikal Bridges, and I thought of Cam Johnson as a 3-and-D guy, even if he didn't play such great defense this year, et cetera, Jay Crowder, et cetera, all this stuff. It was all good, but I didn't think they'd be in the finals, and partly that was because I thought DeAndre Ayton was too green. But the way he's played against these bigs, AD, Jokic, he gave Jokic problems. It's hard to do.
Yep.
What is he going to have to do to play at a high level and avoid the foul trouble that let Giannis run wild in the third quarter in Game 3?
Yeah, Max, I think if he avoids foul trouble, he'll have a great game. I mean, he was headed for a 40-point game in Game 3 until he got in foul trouble. But he had like 16 points early on. DeAndre's playing excellent basketball. That is the first game during this playoff run that he's been in foul trouble. And they're going to try to do it again. And he's got to be careful. He's got to be like, you know what, I'll give you this layup right here because me giving you this layup, is not as important as me getting a foul. I think he has to think with that mentality, especially because Dario Saric is out. That was their backup big guy, and they really have nothing after that. So he really has to be careful with his fouling, and he's a problem for Milwaukee, and that's why he has to stay on the court. In that two-man game, they're having a very difficult time. And if they try to really cover him, then it's going to unleash Chris Paul again, and he's going to have a tremendous game. And also expect Devin Booker to really step it up.
I agree with that.
It's rare that he has back-to-back bad games, and I'm expecting him to really come out and be very aggressive.
Yeah, I agree with that. You're not going to keep Devin Booker down for a whole series, certainly. Maybe it could be two games. And also, Jrue Holiday is very effective defensively against the little guards. But Devin Booker's not a little guard. You know, I expect him to light it up. The interesting thing about DeAndre Ayton, and you're talking matchups, and Saric, I like the way Chris Paul and Saric run a two-man game in the offensively, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But But putting matchups aside, the way I think of it and the reason I liked Phoenix in this series, Middleton and Holiday and Giannis is not a real big three. Jrue Holiday and Middleton are like good players who are sometimes excellent, but there's a reason they're not in the All-Star game every year. They're not quite that usually, right? So it's Giannis and two kind of almost got like good players, above average, but not great players. But then I look at the Suns and I see obviously Chris Paul and Devin Booker are two All-Star players, you know, and All-Star plus even, I would say, whether or not they make like Devin Booker made the team. That's what they are. And then I look at Ayton, right. I go, you know what? The way Ayton's played in these playoffs, the number one overall pick who has not disappointed so far, they got a big three. The very few teams ever have a big three. I think, so without looking at the matchups too much, just kind of looking at the quality of their very best players, it usually determines series, I think they're a big three. Is Ayton part of a legit big three right now?
Without a doubt. You know, the big man in this game obviously has been eliminated, but it's starting to come back. And it's coming back because I think analytics is not as thorough and as strong as it once was. And I think a lot of that has to do with Joel Embiid and his success in the paint. Jokic, the way he can play inside and out. I think the believability in the big man now is coming back. And Ayton is a guy that can run. He can actually shoot the ball from three, but he doesn't do it. And I'm glad he doesn't. I don't want him to really morph into that guy. I want him to stay a foot in the paint and be productive there. But his mentality has really changed, Max. I mean, he was a guy that, you know, for me calling games, it was hard for me to ignore that he was struggling catching the ball in traffic. Mm-hmm. And after the All-Star break, I don't know what hit him, but he's catching everything. I mean, his hand-eye coordination has improved. His ferocity has improved. And it's made this team a tremendous team. And I agree with you. This is a big three. All three of these guys are capable. DeAndre is capable of giving you a 20-20. Devin's capable of giving you 50. Okay? And then Chris Paul's capable of giving you about 35 and about 10 assists as well. So they all are capable of dominating a game. And I think you're right. It kind of stretches them a little bit above Milwaukee's trio.
And then, by the way, they have the perfect complementary pieces. When you look at the starting five, the other guy is Mikal Bridges, the perfect 3-and-D guy. Doesn't need the ball but can do something with it, can shoot, can really defend. And I thought of Cam Johnson the same way, though he didn't have a great defensive year, but certainly Jay Crowder is the perfect modern-day kind of Swiss Army knife-type player on offense and defense. They have the right complementary pieces around those guys. What does that mean in terms of the expectations for the Suns to win this series? How much pressure is there in game four?
I think it's a ton of pressure. I know we would like to say it's more on Milwaukee, but I don't think you want to lose two in a row if you're the Suns going back home with a team that's going to be very confident walking into your building. I think the Suns, if they want to win this series without stress, this is their game seven tonight, as it is Milwaukee. Because Milwaukee can't lose either because they don't want to go back to Phoenix and face that crowd, you know, in a game five, in an elimination game. But the Suns, if they want to really definitely get this trophy, I believe they got to win tonight. I do. It's a seven-game series. Anything can happen. Injuries, guys get hot. You just don't know. But I think if the Suns do lose, it will be a seven-game series. But I think the Suns are capable, Max, of going in there and winning.
It's a must-win game.
They've won two games on the floor of each team they've played in the playoffs so far, and I think they can beat Milwaukee in Milwaukee.
It's a must-win game for Milwaukee, and it's a hell of a good idea to win game for Phoenix for sure. Hear Eddie Johnson every weekday afternoon all year long on the only place on radio for 24/7 coverage of the NBA, that's SiriusXM NBA Radio. Eddie, thanks for coming on today.
Thanks, Max, and I look forward to watching you tomorrow.
Yes, Eddie understands that I'm undefeated on First Take. Well, I had a bad Brady prediction, otherwise undefeated. Up next, we're Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt, the NL's best wide receiver duo of all time? That according to Isaac Bruce. Find out whether or not that's true. Coming up on No Doubt, the NBA Finals are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight for Game 4 as the Bucks host the Suns, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations.
Yeah. The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80. Where does Liquid Swords rank among all Wu-Tang albums? That's what I really should open up the phones to. It's not one. It's not two. I love me some Liquid Swords. It's not one or two. You can argue it's three, or you could argue it's five or six among all Wu-Tang albums, because you got to include Ghost's albums and Dirty's first album and all that. But you could argue it's third. You can't argue it's first or second, I don't think. Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance, no doubt, brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No doubt.
All right. What do we got, Raj?
All right, let me start you off with what Isaac Bruce is. Isaac Bruce, of course, former Rams receiver, says he and Torrey Holt are the NFL's best wide receiver duo of all time, even ahead of Randy Moss and Chris Carter.
It's ridiculous. So the answer is nah, son. And it's ridiculous. Even like his logic is that they won the Super Bowl. Yeah, you think Marshall Faulk and Kurt Warner had something to do with that? Marshall Faulk and Kurt Warner, it's like the two best players in the league at the time. And, you know, Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt were awesome. They were the third and fourth names you mentioned on that team. Randy Moss and Chris Carter. Randy Moss is in a category with Jerry Rice, separated from all other receivers, right? Jerry Rice is MJ, and Randy Moss is LeBron. Some youngins think he was better than Jerry Rice, and they're wrong, but he's better than everyone else, okay? That's Randy Moss. And then the other dude, Chris Carter, when you talk about the greatest hands I've ever seen, I think of three guys that I've watched. I think of Chris Carter, Larry Fitzgerald, and DeAndre Hopkins. I think, like, the best hands I've seen. So you're putting one of the three best hands I've ever seen in my lifetime. I'm almost 50. I'm 48 years old in a month. With the second greatest receiver of all time. Yeah, that's the best tandem. And by the way, the best three-headed monster might be this year in Tampa. Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. All right. Anyway.
All right. We'll see. Hey, and don't sleep on Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne. That was a damn good duo.
Yeah, but that is still not as good as Randy Moss and Chris Carter.
I got you. Hey, we got a birthday in the house, Max. Conor McGregor turns 33 today. Mm. Hey, Max, we've seen the last of Conor as USC's best.
Yes. No doubt. No doubt. He's never going to be the best.
Yeah.
I don't know. He was never number one pound for pound. I think he got his number as high as number two in the UFC official rankings, whatever that's worth. You know, like, because it's theoretical pound for pound. But he was a great fighter at his best. It's possible he could win a championship again. I wouldn't put it past him if he's matched right. And everyone is, I saw Poirier talking about, like, you know, when Conor jumped guard and went for the guillotine, Poirier's like, yeah, he kind of let him do it. Like, I'm goading him in because he's going to wind up in top position. And he said, but he didn't realize he was as close to the fence as he was. So, like, in the UFC, one little mistake to a fighter you should beat could cost you. And Conor can really hit. So let's say Poirier beats Oliveira or vice versa. Something happens. And then Conor gets healthy. And that guy who won that fight loses to someone else who's more of a striker and less of a grappler. And then Conor fights that guy. Yeah, Conor could win that. Like, you don't know. But I believe Conor's prime is over, if that's what you're asking.
Okay. Hey, Max, you remember the movie Old School with Will Ferrell?
Of course. That movie was a great comedy. That was a great comedy.
Great comedy. That was in his prime movie making, too. But hey, it's National Nude Day. So Max will go old school and go streaking.
Nah, son. And I never understood the point. What was the point in, like, I'm trying to understand what the point in streaking is.
It's bodily freedom.
First of all, I don't want to be running around some neighborhood with, like, even my shirt off or something. Like, you know, like, unless I guess if you're jogging and it's hot, it's a hot day, you take your shirt off. But, like, don't want, and secondly, I don't get bodily freedom.
Yeah.
Sleep naked. You don't need to run around.
Brendan? You down to go old school and go streaking, Brendan?
I'll be streaking anytime soon.
Are you streaking?
Every Friday and Saturday at a pool party.
Friday and Saturday, you go streaking.
I mean, that's not surprising. Yeah. That's the least surprising thing I've heard.
All right. We'll move it on.
Streaking Saturdays, as they call it.
That'd be a big son, Raj. What else you got?
All right. Hey, Team USA got a victory. So, Max, you still nervous about the USA basketball team?
No doubt. I know Team USA is going to have some blowout victories. They have a lot of talent on the team. Fact is, they don't have overwhelming talent the way if they sent their real starters, Steph, Harden, Kawhi, LeBron, KD, there's nothing anyone could do. Your sixth man is AD, your seventh man is Lillard. Well, guess what? The team that we sent has one starter from our actual all-star team, KD, one seventh man from our actual team, Damian Lillard, none of our other very best players, and these guys haven't played together. Like, at a certain point, you're so talented, even if you didn't play together, you're still going to beat everybody. That's not the team we sent. So we're playing teams. It's like when a one-and-done squad in college faces a mid-major, a high-major, two or three guys who are upperclassmen and are going to make NBA rosters, but none of them top picks are going to be all-stars. But they've been playing together for 3 or 4 years. Guess what? That team usually wins, beats the one-and-dones. We sent the one-and-done style team to play experienced teams who have played together and have some talent. The USA, Team USA should win, but it's far from a shoe-in. Far from a shoe-in. So it was Nason or No Doubt or whichever. Oh, I'm still nervous? No Doubt. If you said nervous, I'd have said, nah, son, I am nervous. But since I'm reading carefully, I do a careful reading, and I see still nervous, so the answer is No Doubt.
No Doubt.
Rob in Washington, D.C., you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. Love the show. I just wanted to make a quick comment on the Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt, assertion that they're the number one all time.
Yeah.
My argument for that is, number one, in relation to Carter and Moss, who are no doubt great, Bruce and Holt could run every route. They could both were 4-4 flat guys. They could both run every single route on the route tree. There wasn't the traditional one deep guy, one possession guy, where Carter was more the possession guy, Moss was the deep guy. Holt and Bruce could do everything, run every single route, and do it at a Pro Bowl Hall of Fame level. Number two, they put Mark Bulger in the Pro Bowl. They were so good at what they did, they made
Mark Bulger. He went 8-0 when he took over the job from Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner lost his job.
Yeah, and it was largely due. Not to just, I love Marshall Faulk, my favorite back of all time, but Bruce and Holt made the quarterback's job so much easier with the routes and the speed and the precision and the hands that they made Mark Bulger into a Pro Bowl quarterback.
Oh, if Randy Moss and Chris Carter had been on that team, they'd have made him a Pro Bowl quarterback. I hear you. I see that you're a fan of the team. That's plain to hear. And you know the funny thing about Bruce and Holt is that I always thought of them as kind of like an underrated tandem. Like they weren't mentioned enough among the great, you know, receivers. But now they're making them somehow. Isaac Bruce just made them overrated. Last take is your take. 888 say ESPN. 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average.
Coming up tomorrow on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. New England Patriots quarterback Cam Newton as the countdown to the NFL season continues. Cam Newton, coming up tomorrow on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Tomorrow morning at 9 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN News. The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on SiriusXM Channel 80. What's your last take? 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's last take.
Did you miss any of the Max Kellerman Show today? Here's my last take. I'm promoting today's show. You can always find both hours of the show posted daily as a podcast. I would say today was a almost average show, maybe slightly below average by my standards, but those are very high standards. It's fairly representative of the show, I think. It's better than anything else you'll listen to. How's that? Available wherever you listen to podcasts. That's my honest promotion, Raj. Richard in Manhattan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. What you got today, Richard?
Max, two questions. DeAndre Ayton, does he remind you of Marcus Camby?
No. Marcus Camby was a springier, kind of run the floor, get his points in transition. Not a guy you're going to lob the ball into. I think you can do that with DeAndre Ayton. And he,
all right.
And a little lighter in the butt, as they say. You know, like not as big and strong. But Marcus Camby is a fantastic player.
Okay. Giannis, if he gets it done, rate him as far as the other four superstars and their one-year playoff runs now. LeBron's, KD's, Kawhi's, and Steph's. If Giannis gets it done, where would you rank him out of the other four? 1 to 5.
He'd be comparable to Steph, but not the others. Giannis had his way paved. You could argue the same thing about Kawhi when he was with Toronto against Golden State because KD got hurt, or else obviously they would have lost. But KD joined a 73-win team. Who possibly could have beaten that team? Giannis not only got around the Nets because they got hurt, but he's not facing the best team in the West. He's facing the healthiest team in the West. Like, the Lakers were going to beat the Suns. The Clippers were going to beat the Suns. Giannis didn't have to face either of those teams, nor... And by the way, they almost lost to the Nets. Came one shot away from losing to the Nets when the Nets had nothing left except for an exhausted KD. So I couldn't put him in that category. But it'd be a tremendous thing for him, obviously, to win the finals. I think there's as much downside as upside. So, like, this pendulum swinging... You know, in his legacy, is like, oh, this would be really bad versus, oh, this would be really good. It's not just how good it would be. It's compared to what would happen if he fails to do it. Tim in North Carolina, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Before we get to Tim, did you notice Richard is now saying Giannis's name correctly?
Oh.
After the last time.
Brendan, you're right. Giannis, he used to call him Giannis.
Yeah, every time. And then you brought it up and he switched it.
Well, listen, Richard's put me up on a lot of historical facts and... I've taught him how to pronounce the word Giannis. Tim in North Carolina, go ahead.
Hey, Max, I agree with you on Jerry Rice and Randy Moss as 1 and 2.
Yeah.
But I've got to include him as Jerry as the best hands there is. I mean, he made the comment, if you can touch the ball, you ought to be able to catch it.
Wait, so who has the best hands?
You said that Moss and Carter and...
No, I said, best Bryce. Hands I've seen were Carter, Fitzgerald, and DeAndre Hopkins. Those are the guys who I think best hands. Those are the three that come to mind that I've seen. And you're saying include Jerry Rice.
Got to put Rice in there.
Yeah, I get it. I guess Rice is the greatest ever, period. It's like talking about who are the greatest defensive players you've ever seen. Well, like one of them is Michael Jordan. But I rarely talk about Michael Jordan that way because he's the greatest player ever, right? So you think of guys who are sort of more defensive specialists. I think of Carter and Fitzgerald and Hopkins as like hand specialists. Ben in Los Angeles, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
What's up, Max? Just want to say top 5 Wu-Tang albums. Oh, Bobby Digital.
Incorrect.
The Iron Man album by Ghostface.
Yep.
Supreme Clientele.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's Liquid Sword. And then it's Wu-Tang, the first album, the 36
Okay,
Chambers.
You got this very wrong. You have some possibilities, but you basically got it wrong. Number one album in the history of Wu-Tang was only built for Cuban Links, Raekwon's first album. That's number one. Number two is Wu-Tang's first album, Enter the 36 Chambers. Then we can have a discussion about the rest. And even if you wanted to flip-flop Ray and Wu, you could. But those are the top two. And then I would say Liquid Swords is in the top five. I think Dirty's first one is in the top five. And then I would also say that you could pick one of Ghost's and put it in the top five. He has a bunch that you could choose one of them to represent, you know, and put it in the top five. Bobby Digital in the top five? What's going on with this? Zach in California, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Question for you. Do you think Steve Largent of the Seahawks back in the day has better hands than Fitzgerald or no?
No, Fitzgerald is Fitzgerald. No, until DeAndre. You know what it is? It's like what Bob Gibson, the great Cardinals pitcher, said about the best catch he ever saw. He said, "Great catchers are like pretty girls. The best one ever is the last one you saw." So, like, I can't choose a best. I can just tell you here are the guys who I think of as having the best hands that I see. Here are the guys who come to mind. Because the last guy I think about, I want to say, no, Fitzgerald, Hopkins. Hopkins, has he ever dropped a pass? Nate, North Carolina, you got 30 seconds.
Hey, Max, how's it going? Long time listener, first time caller. I just want to say about your receiver duo, what about Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne?
They're up there. You could have them as high as two, but you can't have them. Moss and Carter, you're not going to beat that. But Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison are up there. Marvin Harrison was like Spider-Man, boy. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Shanae and Golic Jr. coming up. I'll see you tomorrow.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.